Well, hello everyone. I want to welcome everybody at East and online. So glad that you're joining us as we start a new series. It's called Playlists. We've done some playlist series before, just kind of diving into music, but this one's going to focus around some of the worship songs that we do here as a church. Part of the reason we want to do this series is to give you some tools, give you some, especially discipleship tools, when you're facing a day that you just need kind of like, man, God, I need your help. I don't know how to do it. And songs have the ability to speak to you in those moments. Or you're just like, I'm doing great, but I need some encouragement today. Songs just have the ability to speak into our lives in incredible ways. And so here are the five songs we're going to be going through. We've got Run to the Father, Same God, Is He Worthy, Firm Foundation, Back to Life. Great part is if you're like, I don't know those songs, you'll get to know them, all right? So first one here, Run to the Father. That is the one we'll be discussing today. And it was written by Cody Carnes and Matt Mayer. And they were quoted, I would say they, Cody was quoted as saying this, and just to help you understand the why behind the song, yes, this song can be about salvation, and that's a big part of the song, but it's also just about needing God every day. So many times we want to run away from God, but the reality is that God has open arms. He's a loving father. He's kind. He's a healer. He's a surgeon. He's a friend. Just diving deep and seeing kind of how these incredible artists come to make these songs and write these songs, there was a kind of video that they put together of just explaining it, and there came a point to where they had some other writers in the room, and Matt looked at Cody, and Matt was like, okay, guys, I know we're trying to work on something, but I think Cody has the direction. I could just sense it, and he says, you're right, I do. My goal with this song is that people would experience a revelation about the Father's heart. And so that's the hope of today. I just gave you a spoiler alert to our sermon, my sermon right here, is that you will experience maybe a revelation about the Father's heart. Because here's what I know. If you look in Scripture, that was Jesus' agenda. That was his agenda to help you know who sent him, help him know who his Father is. He would constantly use that language. And one reference, and you'll see it here in a little bit, is one that he's, last few words he has with the disciples. And it's a prayer, but you can see it's like the Father and Jesus just talking, and the disciples got to overhear it. So check this out. This is in John 17. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. I mean, you think about the final words Jesus is saying, and these are it. And he's saying, like, Father, I did what you asked me to do. They know who you are. That was the goal, and we got there. They know that you sent me. They understand it. And the disciples are still kind of like, okay, we know that. They're still confused. They're like, what's going to happen here? Is he going to die? Is he gonna, what is all of this? But I just want you to hear the goal in the end. And the goal hasn't changed. Jesus left this world, gave us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's been leading us to understand the heart of the Father. Look at this in verse 20 and 21. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's for us today. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. There just seems to have a special relationship between Jesus and his Father. And he wants all of us to be able to experience it, to know what it's like to have a Father that truly loves you and cares about you. And so here's, I think, our struggle with that, though. When it comes to describing God as our Father, we put human attributes on God because that's all we know. Because we see our dads. Some of us experience not having a dad around. Some of us experience not having a great dad, even if he was there. And some of us experience having an awesome dad. But regardless, we put these attributes because it's all we've ever known to be like, okay, when the Bible says God the Father, here's what I would understand that to be. And sadly, what's going on in our world today, fatherhood is just, I'm not here to bash it because I think there's some great dads, but it's struggling. Our culture is struggling to understand what it means to be a dad. Just listen to these stats. Currently in America, there are approximately 18.3 million children who live without a father in the home. And that means one out of every four kids. So if I were going down to kids ministry right now, if I were to survey you right now, 25% of you would be like, yeah, I didn't have a father at home. On top of that, 80% of single parent homes are led by single mothers. Fatherless families are four times more likely to raise children in poverty. And research suggests that 80% of homeless families are headed by women. Just to give you perspective on some of these things, what people are experiencing. And so when, think about it, if you grew up with that, and then you come in here and you're going, okay, I'm singing this song about running to the Father, or Jesus is saying, I need to know the Father. Man, I don't know what that means. I don't know what it's like to have a dad in my life. Or the dad I had wasn't great. And then I'll give you a spiritual perspective on this. It's interesting, when it comes to Father's Day at our church, it's one of the lowest attended services. So we live in a culture that I think that it's hard. That's why we put these attributes to it. And I'm gonna look at three kind of like attributes that we kind of see. It's a distracted father, a limited father, an absent father. I understand there could be more, but I think these three, we start to kind of put them on God because we experience them here. You could be a perfect dad and still struggle with these. I know the limited father, that's gonna happen. You're gonna have the limitations regardless. You're a human being. And so as we work through these, my hope is that you would start to realize, ooh, maybe I'm attaching that to God when I shouldn't. Because that's maybe not who God is. So let's look at this first one, distracted father. This is kind of those moments, we've seen them before. Maybe the kid has something real exciting to tell you, and you're like, oh, okay, here you go, and they're coming right over here. And transparency here. I've had those moments where I'm like, I don't really want to hear what you have to say. Not being mean, I just know what's going to happen. Dads, you've seen this before. You saw what happened, and now they're running to tell you, hey, do you know what? And you're like, what? Did you just see that? Yes, I did. Wasn't it awesome? It was great. And so you sit there in that moment. Now, sometimes you're distracted. You're on your phone or you're doing whatever. You're busy. You're trying to get like, hey, can you just give me 2 minutes so I can finish this and then I'd love to hear your story. But you could see it on your kid's face, can't you? That moment where they're like, fine. Or sometimes that, if your dad's constantly in that phase, you're just like, man, you're just always distracted. Or you're wishing, man, I wish they would have came to a game. I wish they would have came to an activity. I wish they were just there. And so you take that, and I said, like, I try to be a good dad. My dad, great dad. But there's moments where we're distracted as human beings. We are. So then you take that, and sometimes I think Satan loves to go, well, let's apply that to God the Father. You have this prayer request. You have these things in life that you're like, oh, God, can we have this happen? Can we have this? Or, God, I'd love to tell you a story. Or you're trying to pray with him, but it just feels like he's busy doing a lot of other things. And you get it. You're like, well, he's got the rest of the world to run. He's got a lot of people. I mean, you look around, you're like, yep, there's a lot of people in this world. They probably have needs too. And you just start to go, I bet he's distracted. I bet he's busy. And we start to put that on God and just go, okay, like, I get it. I'll try to solve it myself. Or I'll just go to another place, or I'll wait, kind of deal. But you can see over time how that can start to affect the relationship to where you're just going, all right, I know God is real, I know he exists, but he's his father, but I also know he's busy. And I hope maybe there'll be a few moments where he has time for me. Problem with that is it's not true. Here's the truth you need to know. God the Father provides for you, and I'm not just talking about the things he's given you. I'm talking about the things he's like emotionally connecting with you. He wants to know you. He's taking these opportunities and moments to be like, hey, I see you. I value you. And catch this, Jesus in his time here, he taught on this a lot. So in Matthew 6, before I hit this, I want to give you some context to this. He has just explained, hey, for those of you who are worried or struggling with anxiety, he's like, hey, I need you to know who my father is. Because here's the deal. He created all this. And when he created the birds don't know how to make meals. They don't want to put together like we do. I mean, it'd be awesome to see them do that. But still, be crazy too. But they don't. What do? God provides food for them, and they are taken care of. And then you watch flowers grow, especially during the season where you're seeing all these beautiful colors and all that kind of stuff. But they're not worried about, hey, am I going to bud this year? Am I going to make it? I don't know. They're not worried about that. God provides the water. God provides the sunlight. God takes care of them, dresses them in the beautiful parts that they are. And he goes, and if that's how God cares about the flowers and about the birds, think how much he cares about you. So then look what he says right here. It says this, so don't worry about these things. Saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Question is sometimes we think God's distracted with that. Well, God, you didn't take care of this. God, you didn't take care of it. He's like, wait, but do you have all that you need? Keeps going in Matthew 7, he gives another example. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And think about it, like, I understand maybe you're not worried about meals and you're not worried about clothes because you have some of that right now, but recognize God gave you those things. Some of the bigger things, like, God, I wish you'd fix this relationship. God, I wish you would do these things. Wish you would help my identity or help my anxiety or whatever it may be. And God goes, I will take care of that. Let me provide for you. Let me be there for you. But sometimes what's hard about that is letting him in and trusting that he'll be there. But that's our part because I know for me, looking at this song, here's some lyrics right here that help you. I carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. Yeah, I see it now. I'm laying it down. I know that I need you. When we don't have that father in our life, that father figure, especially God the Father, what can happen is we carry all these burdens. Because we go, I don't know else. Who else do I give them to? I try to give them to other people that they can't handle it. I try to solve it myself. I don't know how to do that. And so you just carry it. It's like you're carrying this heavy backpack on your life and on your shoulders, and you're just going, I don't know what to do with this. And God, if you weren't so distracted, but God's like, I'm not. You just got to lay it down. An example I saw this is from my four-year-old daughter, Nora, because I feel like this describes us in a nutshell when it comes to God the Father. So when it comes to like dropping Nora off at daycare, I try to be like, hey, I know mommy's busy. Hey, let me take you to school. Her response? No, absolutely not. And she's like, no. And she will run and go grab onto mommy, like latch on. And so there'll just been morning after morning, it's starting to be like, hey, mommy's busy. Hey, let me take, because I've got the time, let's go. And it is like, convincing her, it's like a pulling teeth experience just to go, just come with me. You'll be okay. But then I am the one that picks her up. But when I pick her up, the mood has changed. Because when I get there, she will be playing, and all of a sudden, she'll drop whatever she's doing, or she might clean it up if she's feeling like, I'm going to be a good girl. But she'll drop what she's doing and just start sprinting towards me. You know, that cute moment, and I'm bending down, I'm picking her up, and I'm like, oh, there she is. And in the back of my head, I'm like, you didn't want anything to do with me this morning. That's interesting. But isn't it funny how I think sometimes we treat God that way and distracted. We're like, no, God, I've got this. I've got this, and I'm going to solve this. But then we get stuck, and we're like, ah. Oh. And learning to run to him, because I think all dads love that moment. Embracing that with their kid. And seeing the smile, seeing just the running as fast as they can to get to a dad who they know, he's got me. And so that's the part I want us to understand. That's the God, the Father, who is wanting to pursue you and love you. So some of it is learning, don't believe the distractions. Put the distractions down and run to him. And let him catch you. The second part of it, we'll go back to those three things. Limited father. Now, I remember seeing this in my dad, because all the men in the room, if you're above like 35, will start to relate to this. Watching my dad play softball or basketball, he'd always start pulling something. Oh, it got me again. Just happens. I am now at that age, a little bit past it, and I know what my dad was going through. I feel it now. There are times where your kids are like, hey, let's go play this. And you're like, I got a big day tomorrow. I don't know if I can do it. And you start to feel it. Old age, you start to feel the limitations. It's not what it used to be. Like, man, to be 25 again, but to be like, have the wisdom of 40, you know. But you have all those things. And it's crazy, you start to see it, and especially hard when you see your parents get older. You're like, man, that's not who they used to be. And so that's what we experience in life. That's all we know, is that limitations are coming. And they already exist. So then you take that into a conversation with God, and we're like, God, I know you can do everything, but it seems like you didn't do that miracle. You didn't save that person. You didn't help me in that situation. And I think just slightly we go, it's the world I'm used to. And so we go, I don't know if you do those miracles anymore. I don't know if you do these things. And so we start putting these limits on God because of what we experience here on earth. But once again, go back to scriptures. Look at what Jesus said about the Father. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. I mean, this is the ultimate miracle. Best miracle you could ever ask for is that everybody, not just certain groups of people, everybody has the opportunity to experience this, to experience sin not defining your life, to experience death not defining your life. These things would limit us. That's what we're used to. We're watching this play out. And God goes, that doesn't define me. And it's not going to define you. I covered that for you. And he made the ultimate sacrifice by sending his son. Most of us would not put our child out there to be like, okay, he's going to die for the rest of humanity. We'd be like, nah, we're good. Not going to give up my kid. But maybe that kid. No, I'm just kidding. God doesn't think that way. He's like, no, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to make it to where my children have the opportunity to live in a world that does not have these limitations. Yes, they may experience them like this for the short period here on earth. But for eternity, no. Think about how beautiful of a gift that is. But God's going, I'm going to sacrifice so you can have that. Romans 5:8 says this, more scripture, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So don't believe the lie that God has limitations. If anything, recognize that God the Father sacrifices for you. That's who he is. He's a father that goes, I believe in you, I love you, and I'm going to make it apparent by my actions. So God the Father sacrifices for you. God the Father provides for you. And here, look at this moment in the song that I think even sums it up very well. You saw my condition. You saw my limitations. You saw the fact that death defined me. You saw that my sin defined me, but had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. Great words. Now, the last one, absent father. And this one's tough because as we kind of alluded to earlier, 25% of you know what that feels like. Or maybe you had dad for your short period of your life and then he passed away suddenly. And you're just like, I didn't have a dad in my life. I don't know what that's like. And so what you learned was like, okay, I'll take care of myself. I'll figure it out on my own. And so that's how you've approached life. And you could take this into God and be like, okay, do I need God the Father? Do I need him? I've learned to do this, I've learned to do this, I've solved all of this on my own. And I get that, but the danger is it's just a very lonely world. And God doesn't want you to stay there. He's like, man, I'm proud of you for figuring out so much. But what if it could be better? What if there could be healing? What if there could be a relationship that you wish you had? And I think there's a story that Jesus teaches. It's just crazy. You see this over here? Jesus keeps teaching about his father. And it's the prodigal son story. If you've heard it before, here's how it plays out. The story goes, there's a father and two sons. The younger son comes to his dad and pretty much says, Dad, here's the deal. I like to live life my own way. I want to do it my own way. I want to figure it out. All been that rebellious teenager maybe a little bit. And so he's like, I want all my inheritance now. Pretty much saying to Dad, Dad, I kind of want you to be absent. Take what is mine, and I want to go live my life. And so very selfish approach. I mean, even when Jesus was teaching this to the Jewish crowd, they're kind of leaning in now because they're like, well, that guy's a jerk. And so the father gives it to him. And so here goes the younger son, goes and lives his life. You probably know where this story is going to go, even if you haven't heard it before. To where this younger son spends his money, living it up, but all of a sudden famine hits, wasn't wise with his money, now he's dirt poor. Now he can hardly take care of the needs that he has. And so he has found this job currently throwing food for the pigs, and he's looking at that food going, man, that looks better than what I'm eating. It's a pretty rough spot to be in. And he has this thought of like, all right, what if I went back home? I pretty much treated my dad like he was absent to me. I'm going to have to figure out how to talk my way out of that and tell him I'm sorry. And you could just see this conversation he's playing out in his head. Now, you got to also understand this, the Jewish culture at this time, they would have taken what this younger son did as such a strike against the family, strike against the community. If they were to see him come back, they would not treat him well. It would not be a homecoming. It'd be more, let's put you in prison. And we go, whoa, that's extreme, but it's like, that's the culture. They go, family mattered so much. They had a huge value on that. So for this son to act that way and to treat his dad like he's just absent and not alive was a huge issue. But this son decides, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go home. Check out the response that Jesus shares in the story. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, here's the speech, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to his servants, quick, just interrupts him. Yeah, that's great, son. Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf, for we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. We hear that and go, oh, that's such a cute story. Jewish culture would have heard that and said, wait, what? Why is the dad being that kind? But Jesus was trying to coach him. That's the heart of the father and setting up what Jesus was going to do. I'm his son, and I'm going to die so that you can experience the love, the grace, the mercy of the Father I know. And so here's the part we got to realize. He's not absent. God the Father is pursuing you. And he doesn't stop. He wants you to know him. He's going to keep going after you. And so that idea that he's absent, because sometimes we look at this world and just go, where is he? It doesn't mean he's absent. There's plenty of times I have to coach my kids of like, all right, just because I don't give you what you want or I'm not there at that time does not mean I'm absent. Sometimes I'm allowing these things to happen to coach you, to help you grow, become the person that I believe you can be. And I think God does the same thing when it's the spiritual dynamics. He goes, I'm coaching you to be the spiritual man, woman that I believe you can be. But right now, I get it, you're a child. Especially in the spiritual world, we don't understand it. And he's coaching us. So some of those times we feel like, why aren't you here? Why aren't you? He's like, I'm here. We're just working through some things right now. The song alludes to it. Look at this. My heart has been in your sights long before my first breath. Running into your arms is running to life from death. And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in, and I know I need you now. I love how sometimes you get those lyrics that just describe kind of the picture I see. When I see that father embracing his young son, just the emotions that young son would have felt, just thinking through that story, how powerful that is. And I was even doing research of kind of like, man, what example would be great to show or share kind of an illustration here? And I came across this one story of a dad who his heart for his son is powerful. So to give you some context, in China, there was a major problem, and it's been going on for these last few decades, to where people would kidnap kids and then sell them to other families. And this has been happening over and over and over again. If you go look it up, you'll see these reunions that happen among these families that are 24, 36 years, and it's so sad to see. But this one dad had that experience. He had his son kidnapped at 2 years old. But I want you to see his reaction to that happening. Check this out.
Tears of joy and disbelief as this family in China was reunited after more than two decades. Their story is a remarkable one. In 1997, their two-year-old son was playing outside their home in Shandong Province when he was abducted by an unknown woman. Their little boy was then reportedly sold to another family in Henan Province. An official investigation for the child proved fruitless, but the boy's parents did not give up. His father, Guo Gentang, started his own research, and for 24 years, he traversed China on motorcycle, handing out flyers, following leads, and putting more than 300,000 miles on his odometer. The quest burned through 10 bikes and all of the family's savings. Guo got into several traffic accidents as well, but the determined father did not give up. And now, his search is over. Police in Henan Province recently located a man matching the description of the son. A DNA test confirmed his identity. And finally, the son, now a 26-year-old teacher, was reunited with his true parents. Authorities also reportedly arrested two people involved in the boy's abduction. The family hugged each other tightly at their reunion in a police station. They had to make up for lost time. 24 years of hugs.
Man, that story gets me every time I see it. And even to hear more of his journey as I studied this, I heard his name was Gua. They say Gao. It's a Chinese name. I have no idea. But with Gua, he helped actually 100 other families, and he helped 100 kids find their homes as he went through this process. Crazy what he experienced, but I also, his heart to me shows this is what God's heart is like. There was a quote he gave, and only by hitting the road, looking for my son, did I feel I am a father. I think God would say, when I created the world for all my children, when I sent my son to die so that we could keep a relationship going, that's the father I am. He wanted to back it up with his actions. Not just tell you, hey, I'm your father. He said, I created this world for you, and I'm going to sacrifice for you because there is this evil that wants to pull you away from me. But I don't want that to happen. And I've already given you victory over it. So I wanted to finish this time with giving you something, maybe a resource on top of the song. This is called The Father's Love Letter. You can do the QR code. Feel free to pull out your phones right now, okay? I would say just QR code that, it will pull up, which is a document that has scriptures that connect pretty much what God the Father has been trying to tell all of his people throughout all of history. And I love how they pull scriptures into it. Here's what I'd love for you to do. Take this time as we even sing this song, Run to the Father, here in a little bit. just let these words sink in. Let them just help you begin to understand this is how much God the Father cares about you. And here's what it says at the end. Check this out. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I'm waiting for you. And you can see the scripture references in there, but I think this could just be that resource again to where I think we need reminded, especially when days are not going the way we want to, when family stuff is, relationships are hard, or whatever the case may be, being reminded that I have a Father that I can run to. If I could give you a visual, go back to Nora sprinting to me as a dad. What if we could do that? Have that mindset of going, I need the Father, and spiritually running to him. And saying, I need that hug. I need you to carry me right now. Because life is harder than I thought it was going to be. And I pray that this time may be healing for you. Because I know some of you grew up with a home that you're like, I don't want to talk about my dad. But I want you to know you do have one. And he loves you like crazy. And I hope that you'll be able to experience him. And let him change your life. Or if you're like me, and you had a great dad, but you recognize you still put some of those limitations on God. And now he's letting you see it even more, expanding your mind, showing you how much he loves you and cares about you. My hope is that these limitations, these attributes we put that just come up, human things, just start to fall by the wayside, and we start to see God the Father for who he truly is. And my hope is as we sing this song, we just have this beautiful picture of running as hard as we can to the Father. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for who you are. I pray in this moment right now, you would heal our hearts. You would set us free. You would help us see the truth because, God, we need it. When we have that kind of love from a Father, it's powerful to see the confidence we have, the identity we have, and we walk through life knowing we are loved, knowing we are cared for, and that changes the ballgame for us, knowing that Satan can't win. Because we have our Father fighting for us, protecting us. And God, there may be times where we don't feel like it's happening right here on earth. But God, what you're doing behind the scenes, what you're doing in the spiritual world, what you've already done for us by conquering sin and death, God, may that remind us that we can always run to you and we need you. And so God, I pray that even if we have a hard heart right now, that we are thinking, maybe I don't need you. God, I just want to prove to you that I'm worth loving. Put that aside and may we simply embrace you as Father because we need it, Lord. May this moment be special. May it be rich as we sing this song and may it help us become the children who have a huge heart for their dad. Pray all this in your name, Lord. Amen.